Well, I appreciate your prayers again tonight. I'd like to start with a reading in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, a very familiar story. So I want to read a little bit of it. Oh, 20th verse. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went, and Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So it shall be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab the eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou might seest the battle. And David said, What have I done? Is there not a cause? I'd like to think a little bit tonight about getting sidetracked. In this story here of David, David is no doubt the main character of this story.
Yeah.
But there's other characters involved in it.
Yes.
There's Saul was in this story. Goliath of Gath is in this story. There's a mention of the Philistine army in this story. There's a mention of the Israelite army in this story. And there's the brothers of David. There is the father of David mentioned. So there's other characters involved in this, and I don't know how your mind works, but sometimes when I think of these stories, I look at the and think about the situation of all the people in there. David was a hero in this.
Yeah.
David was there's no doubt about it. The story was about a young boy. It gives us it's an encouragement to us, has been for a long time.
Amen.
that a young person, we can use this to young people, a young person. I can have God too. A young person can do things like this. David was a young, and it gives us courage that he was able to do it. But there is other characters in the story. And I have to wonder, would you think that maybe that God was satisfied with just having one person be faithful? Well, no. Well, how many people are we talking about? Well, we know there was Eliab and his other two brothers. We know King Saul was in there and his armor bearer. We know that there was a number of things. The scripture says they put army against army. It doesn't say, I don't think in this passage, how big the army was. I think we could probably get close. It wasn't just a dozen people.
No.
It wouldn't have been called an army if it had been a dozen people. I would venture to say that it wasn't even a small army of 100 people. It's more than likely, if you look up the history of this and stuff, that the army numbered in the thousands. Do you realize that this was God's people? This was God's people. This was God's king. And this was God's people, the one who He had promised, I'll fight your battles for you. This is the one that promised that if you make me your God, I'll make you my people.
Yeah.
You think of this, there was one faithful person, not in a dozen or a hundred. There wasn't one faithful person in a thousand. There was only one faithful person in tens of thousands of men. Well, that makes me to consider something that just makes me kind of a shiver run up my back.
Yes.
Why? Why was it like that? Could we say that David was privileged in the fact that he had an opportunity to know about God and the rest of them didn't? I don't find that as reality. If David had the ability to get a hold of God, surely Eliab did.
Yes.
Why would we assume that Eliab couldn't have done what David done? Why could we assume that the king, Saul, the king of the nation, had no avenue of contact with God? Where are these people at? What are they at? And David comes along in this story, did anybody else kill a lion or a bear? Do we even know the names of most of these guys? No, they didn't impress the world at all. They didn't impress their lifetime. What did they do? But yet they had an opportunity to do the same thing that David done. Folks, you have the same opportunity. I have the same opportunity to do what David done. David wasn't superhuman. Matter of fact, David was very human. David was just somebody that lived for God, who allowed God to work in his life. He come to a place of, if you would, maybe providence. Brought him to the place of this, because I'll tell you this, God needed somebody and it didn't look like he had anybody. And if he hadn't brought David up there, it didn't look like he had anybody that would have. It said when the giant come out there that they all trembled with fear. They backed off with fear. None of them was willing or had anything to fight that with.
That's right.
But there was one that did. I'm thankful that there was one, but I can't help from thinking about the other ones. David says when they challenged him with it, he said, "Is there not a cause?" I don't think it really, he was trying to throw it at him, but it couldn't help from it. It couldn't help from ringing to them. You all don't seem to care about the cause. Is there something to die for? Is there something bigger than we ourselves? Are we servants of God or not? Are we going to allow God to be diminished in our realms, in our time? Are we going to be the last generations that says that God can work in our lives? Are we going to be, or have we seen the last of deliverance at our altars? Have we seen the last of divine healing in our bodies, in our lives? Have we seen, are we going to be the last? Is that gone? It's a challenge. You know, there's a lot of causes. Think about it. There's a lot of causes. People get all kinds of causes. I'm not suggesting that they're not okay to have certain causes, but people will put themselves to all kinds of causes. There is people that will that are strongly against abortion, who march with signs and picket against abortion, and they call themselves pro-life, and it's a it's a big cost to them. Well, I don't believe that's right either. It's something to give a cost to. Other people give a cost to saving the planet. Save the planet from being destroyed, and they're passionate about it. They're as passionate as anything about it. And there's other people that will give their causes to Trout Unlimited. They stock fish in the place, and they're very passionate about it. They will backpack trout into the streams, heads of the streams, to make sure that there's trout still living back in there and doing. They're very passionate about it. People do that with a lot of gusto. They believe in it, and they really do it. And other people are animal lovers, and they rescue animals and stray animals. And if you've ever met those people, they're passionate about their love towards animals, and they really mean it. They put a lot into what they're doing. And there's other people that fight the pipeline projects, and other people fight the pollution projects, and other people are there to inspire other things. And there's all kind of causes. They go from the great to the small, from the profound to the hideous. There's all kind of causes in the world. Some want to change, save the planet, and some want to chase Bigfoot around. There's all kind of causes and things that people do, and certain movements and things about it, and believe strongly in it.
That's true.
Is there not a cause tonight that supersedes all the causes?
Yes.
What is it? What is it that's really long-term important? What is it that really means something? Do you know if we leave this world lost, it ain't going to make no difference how many pipelines they put through West Virginia? If I leave this world lost and undone, it's not going to make no difference about all of the issues that I might think is important. All of the arguments that I might make. All of the things that I might try to convince somebody of or do if I leave this world lost. David was one of thousands that stood up and said, are we going to lose the cause of God in our generation? Is there not going to be a testimony left that our God can deliver from the giants? Is there not a cause? He looked one way and said to them, is there not a cause? And then he turned and said, is there not a cause? Give me some agreement here. Tell me something here. Is there not a reason? Listen, I've been around for a while now, and I've heard the testimonies of the generations that went before me. I have read the old stories. I read the old books. I read the stories of Brother Pruitt and Brother Sammons. And I read the books, and I knew them. And I knew some of these people. And I read the books of Brother Murphy. And I read the books about them. And I read how God delivered. And I read how he done this and he done that. And I believe that they were faithful men. And they wrote a true account of their lives.
Right.
Of God being faithful.
Yeah.
Who was the last one to write a book? I wonder. Only one. Let's say there's only one. And he writes a powerful God-anointed song. And there's nobody to sing it. The preacher comes to town with fire and ready to preach to somebody, and nobody's invited. Or there's somebody that invites everybody out, and there's no preacher to preach to them. This ain't about one person.
That's right.
This is about a body of people.
Yes, it is.
This is about giftings. It's about a cause that's bigger than I am for me to understand, Lord, what do you want me to do in my day and time? What's important? You know, it's really, really easy to get sidetracked and start thinking that the important things and get ourselves into things that is important. And I've wrestled over the past political things and all those kind of things. And the Lord always tells me, money's not important. I got something for you to do. My cause will go through all kind of political movements. My cause will go all through all kind of social movements. My cause has went through the generations just as strong in one as it is the other. I've got a cause and you're missing the cause.
Right.
Keep your eyes on the cause.
Amen.
When we start looking at other things, we get distracted about what it's really about. We have a duty in 2020 to be faithful.
Right.
To be David's. To say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to keep going? Is there not a reason to still have a meeting? Is there not a reason to still have prayer? Is there not a reason for us to go on? I hope that there'll be more songwriters and people to sing them.
Amen.
I hope there'll be more revival meetings and people asked to come to them.
Yes.
And people working, that it's working that way in a movement. Oh, Lord, help us not to be distracted in 2020 with everything that's going on. COVID may be a distraction, but it ain't to God.
That's right.
The political movement may be a distraction, but it's not to God.
No, it's not.
When things happen, it's only an opportunity for God's people to show God in the middle of it.
Amen.
It's a good time to encourage people and tell people we've got a God. Do you know there's a thing in war, it especially happened in the Civil War. You can read accounts about it. And there was something that used to be called the rebel yell. You ever hear the old rebel yell? What them old rebels would do, them old southern guys, when they was on the attack, they would rise up out of their positions and they would tear into the northern troops and they would yell a scream, and the northern ones there on them lines would hear them rebels coming and know they had fire in their eyes. And you know what had happened sometimes when they did that? They want the least brave of the bunch would jump up and run, and then the next bravest guy would jump up and run. And I'm telling you, when you're standing there and you're good and brave and you're ready to face the world and get it all done, and just now your buddy on the left jumps up and runs, and then your guy on the right jumps up and runs, it's time to run. You turn around and run. It's time to go. There's something scary about it. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be the stabilizers. We're to stabilize our communities. We're to stabilize our people. We're to stabilize those around us. Why? Because we've got faith in something bigger than we are.
Amen.
We're not going to be destroyed.
Thank the Lord.
God ain't going to give up on us. And David was trying to tell him that. He's trying to tell him, is there not a cause? Have you forgotten? Oh, I don't, this doesn't say this, but give me liberty. And I preached it many times like this. But in my mind, this is the way. I don't say I could have not been this way. Do you think David ever heard the story? Do you think he knew about Moses?
Yes.
David was generations after Moses.
Yes.
You think he knew the story of Moses?
Yes.
Well, of course he did. I mean, he wrote some about it. Of course he did. He knew about Moses. He knew the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. He knew how God had worked with them and done that. Of course he did. You think he knew about Joshua? Do you think David knew about Joshua?
No.
You think he knew that the walls of Jericho fell down after they marched seven times around? Do you think he knew that? Do you think that David heard the story of Gideon?
Yes. No.
The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You think he knew that? Well, sure. In my mind, I see a little boy out there in the field with the sheep, lifting up a stick in the air and hollering, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and running around and fighting make-believe bushes. I used to do that. And these weeds that had the big heads on them was like dragons, and I'd get my stick and fight them. You know, David no doubt fought the enemy like that when he was a... All of us are pretty much the same at the heart. So of course he knew the stories. But David was unusual in the fact that he believed them. And he kept believing them. And he believed them up to the time that the lion came and the bear came. And he still believed them. And God was with him and God blessed him and he understood that. And then he goes up there, and I think Eliab was half right in the fact that David went up there to see the battle a little bit. Why wouldn't he? I would have. I would have wanted to go up there and seen the Philistines take a thrashing. They're about to get a whooping. The Lord's going to run them out. He's about to go, because He did it for Joshua, and He did it for Gideon, and He's going to do it for us. And here we go. And He went up there, and when this uncircumcised Philistine comes out there and starts mouthing off and starts running down God and God's people and all that, he's thinking somebody's about to do something. Yeah, they did. They ran. They did do something. They backed off and got down and was scared. And David is there with faith saying, what are you guys afraid of? Do you believe God or not? Do you believe that God is God in 2020?
Yes, I know He is.
If He is still God, then there is a cause. There is a cause for us in this. And of course, we know the story. David wasn't the only one in there. There was a whole Philistine army that needs showed. The world needs to be showed. Everybody needs to be showed. Israel needs to be shown that God's still the same in the day of David. God is still God in David's time. God's still God in your time. God is still God now. And we have no other real cause. Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with having side causes. But there's only one true cause. That we need to keep our focus on, and it can be really, really easy to lose that, to lose that cause. Do you remember when Jesus is hanging on the cross, and there is a thief hanging there, and the thief says, if you're really the Son of God, get yourself down and us too. It's not the cause.
That's it.
It's not the purpose. I didn't come here to this point for that. Do you think God? You think He could have come down there?
Yes.
But could have done it. Why didn't He? Because He had a cause.
Yes.
Because He had a purpose. He was doing the will of His Father, and He was going to pay the price for us because He loved us, and He's going to pay the price. And He had a cause, and the cause was bigger than anything else, and He was going to fulfill the cause.
That's right.
And He stayed there, and He fulfilled that cause. And oh, how easy it is to get sidetracked. I want to look at some of that. And Lord, help us today to keep ourselves and remember that there is a cause that's bigger than I am. It's a cause that was here before I got on the planet, and it'll be here when I'm gone unless the Lord comes back. There's a cause that's much bigger than me. And it don't matter how many years I live here on this world. It's a small place. It's a vapor. And there's a bigger cause to it all.
Yes, there is.
Over in, oh, let's see, Luke, the 9th chapter. Oh, how easy it is to miss the idea. Luke 9. The 51st verse, I think I'm one that says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we call down, command fire to get, come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did. Now they was upset.
Yes.
And they wanted to pull the power thing on them.
Yeah,
they did. You know, it's kind of like those kind of praying on somebody. It's like, I'm going to pray a prayer on you. And really in your heart you're saying, Lord, get even for me. That ain't the cause, folks.
No, it's not.
It's not the cause. You know what the Lord wants? He wants them to be saved. Can we really get that? Can we really get that the cause and the purpose that the Lord has is for the blessing of mankind?
Yes, it is.
When we lose our love for the souls around us, when we lose our love for the people that are around us, all the people, different as they are, you've lost the cause. You want us to call down fire? Command fire to come down on them? Well, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. You totally missed it. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Oh, he rebuked them. This is a strong thing. He rebuked them.
Yes.
Get this. I'm not here to call down fire. Yeah, I'm powerful and almighty here. Nothing can resist me, but it's not my purpose.
That's right.
Well, if it's not his purpose, I've wrestled with this over the time. So, you know, sometimes I'll take a position about something, and then I'll realize that that ain't the position the Lord holds. I'll give you an example, and you may wonder about this. But do you know God never makes people do righteous things? He only told them to. He only gave the blessing to be able to. We can serve Him and get the power that He brought to us and live right. But He don't make anybody do it. Then why should I? I really scratched my head about this. Why should I try to make somebody do right instead of just influencing them through the Holy Ghost to do right? I mean, should we legislate righteousness? I think about those kind of things. Should we legislate, make somebody put some kind of bondage or some kind of place on that they make them do right? Well, Lord didn't, then why should I? He used the power of His influence to draw them, then maybe that's what I should be doing. Getting the Lord in my life until the influence that I have is through His Spirit and be able to have them say, that's what I want to do.
Yes.
These people, they were going to command fire down on. It's like us make them do it. If we burn them good enough, they'll do it. If we put enough on them, we'll light them on fire. Then they'll see. And Jesus said, you know what, Spirit? I didn't come to kill people and consume people. I come to give them a chance to be saved. Well, Lord, help you and I. I've been a partaker of that, and how dare I not reach that out to the others? I know I was a sinner and undone. I know if it hadn't been the Lord, I deserved nothing but penalty. And the Lord had mercy. How dare me take a position above that? That's not the cause. The cause is for all of us is to love one another. The position, the cause for us is to love the world and love those around us and be able to reach out to them through the love of Jesus. That they can see it too. Oh, me and Brother Matt was talking today, and I told him about a phrase that comes into my mind every once in a while, and I don't want it to sound boastful or like I can do anything, but it comes into my mind when I'm by myself and when I'm just out doing stuff. Or a lot of times I will go to the Dollar General, and if I do, I'm looking for someone to help, and I do it. And what we was talking about today is the phrase that comes into my mind is that I'm going to make the world a little better today. And that's what I think of when I go down to there, and I'll find a place, or I'll look for a place, I'll look for something to do so that I can lift up the kingdom a little bit. And I'll give you an example. It's a very small thing, but I went to the Dollar General the other day, and there was this little old lady, and she was kind of decrepit, and she was old. I don't know how old, but she was old, and she was barely moving. She had a cart. And the delivery truck had blocked the access to get out with a cart, so she had to park it on the sidewalk, and then she's going to have to carry her groceries all the way to the car. There's a couple of big guys standing right there, and they come by, and I saw her there, and I went up and said, "Ma'am, can I take your cart a little closer to your car for you?
Oh, would you do that? Yeah, and I thought, put the cart down, got it in there, and helped her with her groceries. I had to help her down. She couldn't get her cane, and so I had got her by the arm and helped her down there. It seems like nothing, but I'm determined. I'm going to make the world a little better today. And do you know what? It might not mean nothing to you if you're strong, but we'll tell you it meant something to her.
Oh, yeah.
It really meant something to her. She was really thankful. She just thank you so much for helping me and doing that. Well, I'll put your cart back for you. And all, it seems like a small thing, but maybe it's a bigger cause than it all. Do you know the scripture said that Jesus went about doing good?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't define that a whole lot. We know what a lot of it was, but the idea that he went about doing good, I wonder what all that meant. I wonder if he just instinctively knew. You know, Jesus knew everything about what people thought. And I wonder if he just didn't know somebody needed a hand on their shoulder sometime. I wonder if he just didn't come by and just put a hand on somebody's shoulder and have a power of him that just they sensed and knew that something special was there. I wonder if he ever just told somebody. Well, I know that he did it to one brother because he told him when you was under the fig tree, I heard you. I was there with you. Remember? I mean, Nathaniel, Lord, that was. You know, I wonder if he went around doing good. I wonder if he just didn't go and. Well, there's no indication of it, but I wonder if maybe there wasn't just an old man that he just happened to come by and just helped him. There you go, old fella. God be with you, and. There's something special. Something happened there. We think sometimes that the gain of this world, the things, how we do it, what we get, all of the things of this world is what it surely is about. And that's what we strive and that's what we do. And David says, is there not a cause? Isn't there something more important than all of that? Isn't the cause of God more than all of those kind of things? Well, surely that it is. Oh, I just love this kind of stuff. It just means, I mean, it's such a blessing. We took off from Oklahoma the last time we was out here, and we usually just drive all the way, but we got tired, and so we pulled over to sleep. And I think I left the key on in the van. And when we woke up about an hour and a half later, I went to start the van, and it wouldn't start. It was dead. Middle of the night, there wasn't nothing around, nothing moving. And I'm like, oh, no. So I get my jumper cables out, and a little bit, a truck pulled in, and I seen a guy and a woman. They had got out, and I went up with my jumper cables, and I said to the guy, you wouldn't want to be a good Samaritan. Now, it's in the middle of the night, and I wasn't thinking about the fact that maybe not everybody knew what a good Samaritan was. But I was kind of groggy anyway. But anyway, I asked him if he wanted to be a good Samaritan, and he said, oh, you need to jump on. Yeah, I'd be glad to jump. So he gave me a jump. I asked him when it was over, I said, what do I owe you? And he said, oh, nothing. He said, Just give somebody a jump sometime, would you?
Yes.
And I said, I sure will. Well, the other day at the Dollar General, after I helped the little old lady, there was a guy over there with his hood up. So I walked over to there and said, you need help? Well, he said, yeah, I need a jump. You know, this, and oh, well, nope. I said, I ain't got my cables. I got cables. He said, well, I'll pour it in there. So I went over and gave him a jump. And when I got through, I told him a little story about being stuck and the guy coming, and I said, so I'm paid up. And I said, but you're not. So would you give somebody a jump? What kind of a world would we live in if we all just lived like that? We'd live in a world that was like the Lord would want us to live in. There's a cause bigger than all the other causes. And it's a cause of God. It's a cause of having righteousness in your soul. It's a cause that will keep families together. It's a cause that will cause us to love one another and have patience. And it'll be a cause that will cause us to humble ourselves when we have to and say, I'm sorry. And it'll be a cause that will make you to fight the giants in your own personality and the giants in your own disposition and the things that your weaknesses of your own life. It'll make you fight them hard for the cause, to be able to do those kinds of cause that's bigger than any other cause. And we can so easily get sidetracked into what's really meaningful and think that it's not. And so you run into this one or you run into that one and all these different things. And oh, it's about loving people. We was on a trip somewhere recent and pulled up to the gas stations. And it was the same trip going home. And pulled up to a gas station, put gas in the rest of the family went into the bathroom, and I'm putting gas in the van, and I look across from me over at the other pump. There's a truck sitting over there, and there's a young lady sitting right up. There's a toolbox in the back of the truck, and she's sitting right up on the top of that toolbox, just sitting there. Had her legs kind of crossed and her arms kind of crossed. She's just sitting there. And I looked over and thought, that's an odd scene right there. I wonder what that's all about. And I went ahead and pumped gas a little while. I looked over and she's just still sitting there. She didn't look like she was in distress or anything. She just looked there and I thought, I've got to find out something about this situation. So I kind of moved in a situation until she'd turn her head so she'd look at me. When she did, I asked her how she was doing. Well, she said, well, I'm doing okay. Then I said, do you need help? She said, I'm out of gas. And I said, well, I have no idea what sitting up on top of that truck would have got her. I had no idea. But she was sitting up on her. But it worked because I said, well, you need some gas. And I said, I'd be glad to give you a little bit of gas. You need some gas. And, oh, would you? Well, I'm going to tell you why. She blessed me before I left. She really gave me a good, God bless you for what you've done. I think she probably saw my family and knew that we was religious, but it was just somebody that needed help.
Yeah,
it wasn't. You know what? I look at it and think of all the times that the saints have put tires on my vehicles, and all the times that I'd get somebody get my vehicle and take it and fill it up with gas, and all the times that I've done all those things. And when I see those kind of things, I don't have to be shy about saying, "Lord, you've overdone it. You've just overdone it. It ain't hard to do it. I'll help somebody that needs help like that." It actually is a pretty good thing to be able to do that because there's a cause that's bigger than the rest of all these causes. If we can just reach out the love of Christ, just to reach out the love of Christ to people, the greatest cause we'll ever have. And we can so get sidetracked because I think this or you think that or they're just thinking there's a cause way beyond all the causes we can argue about of how this ought to be done or how that ought to be done. There's a cause bigger than all that. Lord, help us. We want to look at another scripture. Over in John, the 18th chapter, let's see, but 28th verse says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that this saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signify what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Well, what's he talking about? Do you know when Jesus came into this plan? I can't find one place in the scriptures where he tried to change the Roman government. I can't find one place where he wanted to change the system that they were under. It wasn't the cause. The cause is not to change the system. The cause is to change me. It wasn't his cause. They said, is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar? Well, they was in a dilemma because they felt like if they gave their money, that they was funding the evil empire. They felt like we would feel like if our taxes go to abortion, you know, or goes to hideous causes, we don't want our taxes to do it. People fight that. Is it lawful, he said, for us to give tribute to Caesar? Because Caesar's a heathen nation. It's hard to tell what all they do with this. They do bad things with this. They make bad houses and public things. And they do this with the tribute money. Is it legal for us to fund that? Jesus spent no time trying to change the Roman Empire's political system. Wasn't his cause.
No.
Jesus can save us under any political system. God was about changing your heart. He wants to make a sinner a holy person. He wants to take somebody that's undone and make them whole. He'd do it under any system. And he proved that he could do it under any system. He done it under the Roman system, the Asian system. He done it under all the systems. And he wasted no time at all on his earthly ministry trying to change the Roman political system. And when they asked him about giving tribute, he said, let me see the coin. You show me a coin. Those images on there. Well, Caesar's. Well, then give it back to give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. But give to God that which is God's. That's important. There's a cause. You want to be in this? Give Caesar what's his, but give God his. Give him his dues. What belongs to God, give to God. Give honor, respect. Give devotion. Give your life. Give it to God. Because you owed it. You owe it. Which says here in this passage, if my servants, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. I think, in my mind, there's an underlying statement in there that if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight so I would not be delivered up. And if they fought, you'd lose. I'm not fighting for an earthly kingdom or yours would fall. I'm fighting for a heavenly kingdom. You don't have, Pilate, you're not in danger here. This isn't a conflict with you. This is a conflict with Satan. This is a conflict with spiritual powers.
That's right.
I can do this under any circumstance. Yeah, we want right things. We desire right things. We'll do what we can do to have right things in and around our world. But you know what the Lord told us, what the Bible tells us to do concerning the rulers and leaders of our land, and the Bible's been around a long time. The Word of God's been around a long time. It's been a long time since Jesus' feet trod this earth. He told us to pray for the rulers and leaders of our land. What lands? What lands must that encompass? You know, that must have took in old Henry VIII. In somebody's lifetime, it took in Henry VIII. It must have took in Napoleon. It must have took in the Czars. It must have took in all of the dictators that's ever been around. And what did he say? Pray for them. Pray for them. This is it. Did he say, pray that I change, and pray him and I'll change him and we'll have a euphoric world kingdom? Nope. That's not the cause. The cause of God has never changed. It can't be destroyed. The kingdom, what we belong to, we're pilgrims and strangers in this earth and we belong to a heavenly kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Thank God. It can't be destroyed. And there is no power that can take me out of His hand. There's no power. Nothing can do it. Well, if they start doing this or this law or that law, well, we'll resist that all that we can in the natural. We'll do what we can and all of that. And then when we get through with it, we'll stand up for Jesus. What we're going to do. He's a mighty governor. He's a mighty king. He took old Daniel and let him be took away, carried captive. Then gave him honor and glory the whole time. What a remarkable life did Daniel have in an old heathen kingdom because he was faithful. Joseph was the same way, a faithful person that ended up second to the Pharaoh. How can you get anybody any higher under God? What would God do? There's a cause. Lord, help us. There's a cause. If my kingdom was my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. Another scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, Lord, help us not to make carnal warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a powerful scripture! What a powerful scripture. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting a carnal cause or a carnal battle. We're fighting a spiritual one. We're fighting for the cause of God. Changes everything.
Yes, it does.
It changes everything. And now I look at a situation as somebody that's down and out or on drugs or on this or all this, and changes my whole perception of it. Jesus died for them. And my cause becomes the same cause. Jesus, if you died for them, I'll die for them too. You remember what he said to Peter? Peter, feed my sheep.
Yes, he did.
You love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. I wonder why he done it three times. I think that was one. I think Jesus was really, really trying to impress on Peter something.
Yeah.
Peter, I want you to get a hold of the cause. There's a cause, and you're going to waver. I want you to know that you loving me is kin to this. If you love me, and you always want to show that love, because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. In the ministry. And this is no criticism. Don't take it right. But people don't always respond just the way you think they should in a ministry. And I want to tell you something else. Sometimes you can just be as innocent as you can be and really get laid out. Peter, you love me? Yeah, Lord. I'm going to warn you. You better love me. Feed my sheep. Because it's not always going to be pretty.
That's right.
There's going to be some real devotion in this idea of following the Lord. In this idea of keeping the calls. And when they don't do what they're supposed to be, you're needed all the more. You're needed more when they're not. Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord. I love you. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Keep the calls. Keep that calls. In Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus. That's a scripture that comes to me every once in a while. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes looking on Jesus.
That's right.
Looking on Jesus. Don't faint. Don't worry. Look to Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and get that scripture. I don't mess it up too much.
Yeah, that's good.
Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we have also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Brother Ed made a comment at the beginning of the service. He made a comment about that part of that psalm about I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever as being a purpose statement. That's what I'm going to do. I purpose, or I it's my cause.
Yes.
That's my cause. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to stay there forever. This is going to be my lot. This is where I'm going to go. Considering Him. Times will get hard sometimes. It don't always look good sometimes. Sometimes it can be really challenges. But consider Him as we look to keep the cause. What is it going to be, Lord, help you and I, what is it going to be in the times to come? Children and grandchildren, what's it going to be? What a difference I've seen in my lifetime. In my lifetime, the attitude, we're almost numb to some of it. If you would have popped this on me back 30 years ago, it would have been something to think about what this world has gone to. But it happened. We're going in an awfully fast way. Keep the cause. That there'll be a testimony and a testimony and a testimony that goes down through the years that we can say the Lord's been with us. The Lord has helped us and been with us. If you're here tonight and you aren't a part of that cause, the Lord wants you to be one of those numbered.
Yes, He does.
There needs to be there to be a Daniel, there to be a David, there to be someone that will make a difference in this world. I tell you, God will fight for you. You'll see incredible things. God will do things. You know, one of the things that I'm saying in closing that I'm amazed at. One thing I'm amazed at is how we'll get these calls of an urgent situation. Urgent. Brother Marty, this and this and this happened. This happened. And it's urgent. And over we went to prayer and prayed, Lord, I know it sounds urgent. I know it sounds impossible. But Lord, do something.
Yes.
And get a call back. And a lot of times they say, well, it wasn't as bad as they thought. We know. It's enough. It's enough for me to know that over and over again, it's enough to know the Lord stepped in and done a miracle and left nobody there that even saw it, except for the ones that prayed about it. And I saw the miracle. Lord, thank you. I saw you do it. You know, God can do miracles and hide it from everybody. God can work in our lives. And I want to tell you, God can still work in our lives. And there is a cause. Keep the cause. Keep the cause of God. It's the greatest cause we have. I'm not against the people that go and protest against bad things. I'm not really against that. I just think it's a little futile, to be honest with you, because the real answer is for them to get a hold of Jesus and change their heart, and then they wouldn't want to do any bad thing anyway. The real answer is that they get Jesus in their lives. Because you can change some of them things by laws or by this or that, but you can't change eternity by a law on this land. You can't change it at all, but you can change it if you get Jesus into their hearts. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.